The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It is 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, April 4th, 2021. And thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and with me tonight is my assistant, Joan. It's not official, but she's always here and always super helpful, and I wanted to acknowledge her, so I'm going to give her some thank you applause. Alrighty, and also special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Also some thank you applause. Okay, tonight's show, as always, contains spoilers up through the last episode that aired and stuff that comes out of any current AMC official promo materials. We will start our show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week, which is now, and 9 o'clock, they'll go dark. So we'll have some recap from the previous episode, and we will discuss what we believe is to come tonight. At 9 o'clock, we go dark or mute, and we'll watch the new episode together, and then come back here and give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being and 10 being awesome, and we'll have commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented to us. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 22. Tonight is the second Season 10 finale. And no, Joan, it won't be the penultimate one. She didn't ask that, but we like to play with that word. The last of the special additional 6 episodes that they tacked on at the end of Season 10. And then next we will await Season 11, the final one for the Walking Dead Classic. Season 11 will be the last one. And as of right now, it is expected to air... Well, okay, I've been saying the traditional October season opener slot, but there have been new rumors that it will air in summer 2021, possibly after Fear is over. On September 9th, 2020, AMC announced that Season 11, by the way, not 22 episodes as I had heard and had been telling you, but 24. Interestingly, just for the heck of it, that happens to break down into 3 chunks of 8. And you know how they like to split it up, 8 episodes, take a break, and 8 more. This can be done 3 times if they do it that way. Filming for the 11th season began back on February 9th. We also believe that subtly one of the goals of the Daryl and Carol conflict episode from a couple weeks ago is to build interest in the upcoming spinoff, which is slated to happen after the flagship show comes to a close. I have an article on that, but Joan, did I read you guys an article about that? Let me know if you remember that. If you haven't, I will read it to you tonight, but I thought that I already had. Okay. Fear, Season 6, resumes next weekend on April 11th with Episode 8, The Door, and continues Episodes 8 through 16 up to June 6th. World Beyond, Season 2, is currently slated to air sometime in late 2021, this ephemeral thing. We have no information as to when it begins as of yet exactly, other than in 2021. June 13th, 2021 would be the first potential slot for it to run, and with 10 episodes in Season 2, this would take us to August 15th. But we don't know how that's going to affect The Walking Dead Classic Season 11, so we'll see. I don't know if they're going to do a piggyback thing like before because it doesn't come out right, but I'll let you guys know when I know. All right. Also, in 2022, there's a 4th series coming, a spinoff series fronted by Carol and Daryl. I tell you guys this every week. It's news. It's big news, and I want to make sure you know. In late 2022 or 23, will be a 5th show, an episodic roadshow-style story, which will be an anthology called Tales of the Walking Dead. And what this kind of means is each episode is going to be self-contained. Like, you know, like Star Trek used to be, a little bit. I hesitate to say that. Maybe it's better to call it like the Twilight Zone, because each episode is not necessarily much to do with any of the others, other than it's probably familiar characters and it takes place in the Walking Dead universe. But it's not going to be a contiguous plot line like the rest of the shows have been up to date. All right. So if you guys want to call in to speak with the hosts at 914-338-0314, you're welcome to do that anytime tonight. I especially encourage you between 8:30 and 9 p.m. because we can talk freely. If you're still wanting to call in during the live show, you can call after 9, but you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not really your thing, join us in our live chat room and we will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact. We post those links on our Facebook page and on my Twitter when I remember, which I did do tonight, but kind of at the very 11th hour. All right, I'm checking the chat room real quick, see if Joan has anything to say. She said, I got my penultimate fix Friday with another show I watched, so I'm all penultimate out. Thank you. And she says, she doesn't recall hearing the story I was talking about, but I apparently put too much faith in her memory there. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to go back and grab the link to that story. And after I get through the synopsis for tonight, I may go ahead and redo this article because I don't think I have previously, and I think it would be good to talk about. Okay, so I've got that queued up for a few minutes from now. Okay, if you're unable to join us this evening, you can go back to the link and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just go to the page and click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right, and you can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. All right, tonight's episode is entitled, Here's Negan. Official AMC synopsis is, with Maggie back at Alexandria, Carol takes Negan on a journey to minimize the increasing tension. There, Negan reflects on his late wife, Lucille, and the events that led him to this point. All right, I'm going to check in with Joan real quick. Nothing else going on, so let us continue. Additional synopsis, as I often do with you guys. This one is entitled The Walking Dead Season 10, Here's Negan Finale Gives the Villain a Chance to Save Lucille. Here's Negan will finally unlock the origin of the villain as well as what his life was like with the real Lucille was, what his life with the real Lucille was like. I'm so sorry. Talking is hard. what it was like before he became the evil leader of the Saviors. And this is from denofgeek.com. This is a source that we do use occasionally. This particular article was written March 29th by John Saavedra, S-A-A-V-E-D-R-A. I hope I said it close to correctly. All right, so John has to say this. It's 8:39. The Walking Dead Season 10 has lasted longer than anyone ever expected. Due to delays in filming Season 11 because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the show's 10th season will go down in history as its longest at 22 episodes in total. With next Sunday's finale, and he means tonight, titled Here's Negan, the season finally goes out with a loud bang. Based on the comic book storyline of the same name by Robert Kirkman and Charlie Adlard, Here's Negan plays largely like an origin story for the villain. Those of you who've wondered about Negan's past will get to see a big and vital chunk of it in the finale, which also stars Hilary Burton as his long-dead wife, Lucille, who later inspired the villain's trusty bat. The comic not only explored who Negan was before he became the megalomaniacal leader of the Saviors, but it also explored just how he ended up crushing people's skulls with a bat. It also briefly tackled the real Lucille's death, although it didn't go into as much detail as the TV series episode will. Well, that'll be interesting. Okay, next. In fact, the TV version of the Negan origin story takes some liberties with the source material. You know, that's fine, because it's taken liberties with the source material since season one, so whatever. You know, Kirkman signed off on it, so deal. For one thing, it seems to change and expand Lucille's storyline. I'm not going to mention the next part because it's comic stuff, and we don't care if it's different. Okay. So instead, we learn in a brief trailer and a clip from the upcoming episode. So this was in the preview already, so I'm going to go ahead and spoil it. Negan and Lucille are holed up together sometime after the outbreak. Lucille is still dying of cancer, but Negan is trying to save her by finding and administering the medicine she needs for her chemotherapy. But at some point in the story, things will have to go wrong. After all, we know that Lucille is already dead by the time we meet Negan in Season 7. The preview below suggests the episode will show us the moment when things went bad. And yes, that is my understanding as well. There's a video. You guys can't see it, but that's fine. It is on YouTube if you want. I'm not going to tell you the next part because it's a bit of a spoiler about tonight, and this does talk about the finale. Okay, I'm going to cut it off here. There's too much about the episode that those of you who have not already seen it are going to want to not hear right now because you haven't seen it yet. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and drop that out. Let's go to the other article. Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21, Preview, Daryl, Carol, and Diverge. Okay, so this is going back to last week's episode and kind of talking about why they did what they did and setting it up for, you know, the later show. All right, let me pull this up. Okay, this is from March 21st. It's from a source called CarterMatt.com, and it's Matt and Jess TV commentary. And they have to say this. Want to get a good sense of what lies ahead on The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21? We should start off by noting that this is the last one before the finale, or quote, finale. We honestly don't know what to call it, since Episode 16 was technically supposed to be the end of the season. What we're getting now is these bonus episodes, are opportunities to better understand certain characters. It's also setting a strong foundation for the 11th and final season of the show itself. Episode 21 carries with it the title of Diverged. And I always think about Robert Frost, when the two roads diverged in a yellow wood, blah, blah, blah. And that has made all the difference. It's a cool poem, but nothing to do with tonight. The question at the heart of it is actually rather simple. What happens when Daryl and Carol fight? Is there a way for the two of them to get back to the same page again? We know the answer is yes, because they've done it already a bazillion times. This is kind of a silly way to put it. All right, below we've got the synopsis, which I read you last time. Don't need to do it again. We think that subtly one of the goals of these Daryl Carol episodes at the moment is to build interest in the upcoming spinoff. This must be a quote from somewhere, because I had that wording already, and it wasn't from here. What we've long loved about their relationship is that it really does transcend labels. It's a bond like no other. They know each other better than anyone. They can support each other while at the same time working to call each other out if that's what's best. We're obviously confident that the two will resolve their differences, but how long it takes and how the relationship is repaired is something that should be fascinating to watch. Question, what do you want to see when it comes to The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 21? Oh, okay, that's a question they put to the readers, and the readers can send in answers, but we're not doing that. Okay, so let's move on from that. Joan has nothing further to say on this part, so let's go to the next part. All right, writers and directors profiles. It's 8:44. We've got 15 minutes. So tonight's episode is written by David Leslie Johnson and directed by Laura Belsey. Okay. So, profiles, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick, and I always make a point to bring his name in here because he had it changed a while ago, but my source keeps not including his last name the way that he does it. He began writing plays in the second grade and wrote his first screenplay at age 19. Johnson attended Ohio State University in Columbus and graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in photography and cinema. Currently, Johnson lives in Burbank, California, with his wife, screenwriter Kimberly Lofstrom Johnson, and their son Samuel. Johnson McGoldrick began his career as a production assistant on Frank Darabont's The Shawshank Redemption, which was filmed on location in Johnson's hometown of Mansfield, Ohio, at the historic Mansfield Reformatory, where Johnson's great-grandfather had been a prison guard. Johnson spent the next 5 years as Darabont's assistant, using the opportunity to hone his craft as a screenwriter. He co-wrote the screenplay for the new Aquaman movie that came out in December 2018. Not quite so new now. And it did so well that as of February 2019, he'd already been hired to pen the script for the Aquaman sequel, due out in 2022. Obviously, this snip was written before last year, and so therefore also obviously it's very likely that these dates have been shifted. And I know you guys can figure all that stuff out, so I'm not going to worry about it too much. But that's the plan, and it's basically just to say he did so well they want him to come back and do more. He wrote the script for 2016 sequel, The Conjuring 2, and was brought back to work on current new sequel, The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. It was slated for 2021. Again, probably has delays. You can probably look in IMDb and see where they are. He's also listed as a main writer for the Nightmare on Elm Street 2021 reboot, again, with the delays. Other future projects include a Dungeons & Dragons movie slated for November 2021, again, and another remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers slated for 2022, again. All right, David has been involved with The Walking Dead since 2011. He's pretty old school. He started as a writer for Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra, and he has written credits for 13 episodes of... Oh, he has writer's credits, pardon me, for 13 episodes of The Walking Dead Classic Before Tonight, the last previous one being Season 9, Episode 13, Squeeze. He also has story by and teleplay by credits for 2017's Season 8, Episode 5, The Big Scary You. He's been a consulting producer contiguously since Season 8 in 2017. Tonight is his 13th episode written for The Walking Dead Classic. There's some wording problems in here. It's making it sound like he's got 14 episodes, and I checked it earlier, so something's wrong. I'll fix it later, but you get the idea. He started with The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 5, Chupacabra. It's 14th if you count The Big Scary You. He's also written 3 episodes of Fear to date, which I didn't include in his bio before. Channel 4, Season 5, Episode 9. Today and Tomorrow, Season 5, Episode 14. And The Key, Season 6, Episode 4. And he's also slated to write Season 6, Episode 11, The Holding, which is airing on May 2nd, 2021. Okay, so that's the end of his. Let's do Laura Belsey. It's 8:48. We got some time. We've done Laura several times because she is going back and forth with David Boyd and switching who gets to direct these little 6 snip episodes. Little is known about Belsey's personal life. Belsey was born in New Orleans, although her Facebook profile says she's from Nyon, Switzerland. She attended Collège Voltaire. The Collège Voltaire, founded in 1914, is a school of the Canton of Geneva, Switzerland, post-compulsory school, maturity school, from what I can tell, amounts to the equivalent of United States high schools. Okay, she then majored in film and comparative literature at NYU. She was born October 14th and currently lives in New York City, as does her younger sister, Catherine. Laura Belsey is a commercial, TV, and film writer, director and producer, known for Arrow 2012, The Flash 2014, and The Walking Dead 2010. Other works, Preacher, Bull, Criminal Minds, Beyond Borders, that's one title, Criminal Minds, Classic, NCIS New Orleans, and Unforgettable. One of her earlier notable works is the 2008 political documentary Katrina's Children about younger flood survivors. She directed multiple episodes of Law & Order Special Victims Unit, as well as serving as a second unit director on Royal Pains. She has also directed hundreds of commercials and TV spots internationally for clients such as Swatch, Honda, IBM, IKEA, and many more. Belsey has received over a dozen major advertising industry awards for her work, including a Cannes Gold Lion and one show Best of Show. One of her TV spots is now in the permanent collection of the Museum of Modern Art. Belsey currently serves as on the Directors Guild of America Eastern Directors Council, as an alternate on the DGA National Board, and as a partner at Shadow Pictures, a film company in New York. She has 22 director's credits at IMDb since 2004, the bulk of her non-indie work starting in 2013 with Law & Order SVU. Tonight is Belsey's 6th The Walking Dead episode directed, the first being Season 9, Episode 15, The Calm Before. Prior notes from this show had not listed her as director of her third episode, Season 10, Episode 15, The Tower. I previously had notes that said that Satchro was director, but this is not the first time that he's been listed and it wasn't actually him. I don't know if that's some kind of placeholder thing that my source likes to do. I'm fuzzy why that goes on. But at any rate, IMDb says it's true that this was her third episode that she directed for them. So there's that. Sorry, it's a little confusing. All right, it's 8:51. We've got some more time. And so I'm going to go to trivia. Trivia about tonight's episode. It is the 153rd episode of Walking Dead ever. It is the first appearance of the character Baxter in a flashback. He's the leader of Valak's Vipers in Ohio, played by actor Rod Roland. First appearance of Franklin in a flashback, random survivor, played by Miles Mussenden. First appearance of Lucille, the character, not the bat, in a flashback, Negan's wife, played by his real-life wife, Hillary Burton Morgan. Piece of trivia, the character died of pancreatic cancer. Some of you know why I would pick that piece of trivia up. First appearance of Valak's Vipers in a flashback. It's a motorcycle gang based in Ohio. Last appearance of Rick Grimes in a flashback. They say this, but I doubt it is true, as I expect more snips of Rick to appear in Season 11. Last appearance of Michonne Hawthorne, also in a flashback. Also doubt this is true. Same reasons. Last appearance of Laura in a flashback. She was a high-ranking member of the Saviors and was one of Negan's most trusted Saviors after Simon's betrayal and demise. 6 years after Rick Grimes' assumed death, Laura is now a resident of the Alexandria Safe Zone, serving on its leadership council. She is played by actor Lindsay Register. This is the 12th episode to share the same title of a comic series volume after Days Gone By, Made to Suffer, This Sorrowful Life, Too Far Gone, No Way Out, A New Beginning, What Comes After, The Calm Before, Lines We Cross, What We Become, and A Certain Doom. This episode, along with Days Gone By, No Way Out, A New Beginning, and A Certain Doom are the only episodes to be directly adapted from the respective comic volumes of the same name. The other 7 use the titles for episodes that are not directly related to the source material from that volume. This episode marks the second time that the name of a character is included in the episode's title. It's interesting. After 153 episodes, they've only done it twice, the second time tonight. The first time they did it was the episode The King, The Widow, and Rick. Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Hillary Burton Morgan are the third real-life couple to portray a couple in the TV series. In this case, Negan and Lucille. The first being Curtis Jackson and Helen Jackson. Curtis was Bob Miller in The Walking Dead. His wife, Helen Jackson, portrayed Natalie Miller, the wife of his character. And the second being, just a couple weeks ago, Robert Patrick and Barbara Hooper, who were Maze and Mrs. Maze, and he also played Maze's twin brother, you know, because twins. Okay, 8:54, let's keep going. Co-stars tonight. There's only 2, but there's a little explanation, a lot of explanation for the first one. So, co-stars, Mandy Christine Kerr as Barbara, an Alexandria resident since the beginning in Season 5, who lost a son and daughter to the Saviors in Season 8. Trivia, Barbara is credited as Mother Number 1 in Season 5. This character was given the name Barbara in the episode Now, Season 6, Episode 5. Barbara was credited in Start to Finish and The Next World, but did not appear in either episode. Mandy Christine Kerr was far along in her pregnancy while filming the episode Service, that she was only featured in the church scene as they were able to use a headshot instead of featuring her entire body and showing the baby bump. Oddly, Barbara does not appear to be upset regarding the apparent deaths of her children and the Savior's grenade attack on Alexandria in her appearances following How's It Gotta Be, How It's Gotta Be, Season 8, Episode 8. However, it is also possible that her feelings on the matter weren't portrayed in depth, as she is a minor character. Barbara, Gabriel, and Aaron are the only remaining characters introduced in Season 5. Barbara is also currently the longest-living recurring character on the TV series and is also the only one introduced before Season 6 who is still confirmed to be alive. And then Kean Michael Spiller plays Herschel Reed. Uncredited tonight is Andrew Lincoln as Rick Grimes and Danai Gurira as Michonne Hawthorne. And these are both archival footage. All right, 8:56. I think we can get through this because there's not much. Last episode trivia. The title of the episode, Diverged, refers to Daryl and Carol splitting up in the episode, i.e. their paths diverging. This is the least viewed episode of the TV series ever and the only one to get fewer than 2 million views. I think a lot of people were annoyed, but I'm actually a little stunned to hear that. I think it was unnecessary indictment, but okay. No co-stars listed, uncredited, 7 as Dog, no deaths, and no goofs. All right, we have time to squeeze in birthdays, so let's do this. Alexa Helen Nicholas, who played Haley, a Woodbury guard.
Do you need to place an emergency call?
No, I do not. Please get off my show. My actual virtual assistant.
I can help you with specific questions.
Alexa, stop. Lord. All right, so her birthday's today, and she's from Chicago. R. Keith Harris, Dr. Harlan Carson, who was the Hilltop Doc the Savior stole away, also his birthday is today. I don't have a talent for him. Lauren Ridloff, who, her last name in real life, not her stage name, may be T-E-R-U-E-L, and I have no idea how to pronounce that. I don't want to butcher it. But that's Connie. Her birthday is April 6th, and she is from Chicago. And Michael Rooker, who played Merle, is April 6th, and he is from Jasper, Alabama. And let's have some birthday applause. All right, featured music from last week. Real quick, the song at the end, No Worries, by Amateur Blonde, is the only song that they've noted. And since we're at 8:58, I'm going to wait to say anything else until we get to the first commercial break. But thank you for joining us and for hanging in with me. I'm actually going to go ahead and go dark because the season finale is about to open in a minute. I will see you guys at the next break. Thanks for joining us. Okay, it's 9:03 and we're already back. That was a fairly short opener, although I'm going to give it a 5-2-5. Jones with a 5. You know, the short openings, it's hard to judge, you know, how much they're worth because they don't give you a lot. And it's either amazing or it's just unsatisfying. I kind of like the whole, like, we caught Carol again just sort of deciding what to do. And Joan has said, I do like the character voiceover since they've been doing voiceover that they've been doing at the beginning of these episodes. Yeah, I do kind of like that part. So we're both essentially on the same page with ratings. All right, since we are back, let me get out of the way. The couch, Talking Dead tonight on the couch, is Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Hillary Burton Morgan, super fan Yvette Nicole Brown. I like her. She's fun. And tonight's episode writer, David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. And they are going to be on the couch. So let's give them some applause. And there's a interesting TV show, movie, Voyagers. I don't know what this is. Theaters Friday, so I guess it's a movie. We're still in commercial. So let's see what else I've got on my notes that I can share with you guys. Okay, Talking Dead we did. I have a couple of links that are kind of discussions about Negan that we can take a look at since we have discussed the other material already. And I'm going to go ahead and pull those up, but I don't think we're going to get too far before we go back. So the first article I have here is from a site called Looper. I have read to you guys a couple times. I tend to stay away from them most of the time because the things I've picked up from them are synopsis of the current show, and they do get spoilery. Watching the Jeep commercial, see if we go back. We do not, but we probably will soon. So this article is The Untold Truth of The Walking Dead's Negan by Shane O'Neill, and this was written March 30th at Looper. I kind of anticipate that this preview is going to be over in a second, so I probably will read this to you at commercial break number two. I'm just getting kind of set up for now while I'm watching a trailer of a very interesting show. Ah, Gangs of London, and that's going to be next on AMC, so I guess that'll be later tonight. All right, we're back. I'll see you guys at break number two. Okay, guys, we are at break number two. I'm actually going to go to 5-5. Yeah, so is Joan. Oh, wait, no, that was wrong. Joan's 5-7-5. That 5-5 was me. We are at 9:14 at break number two. Joan is, I was trying to figure out who buried Lucille, because they said, you know, they don't have it. But Joan thinks, she didn't think anybody buried it, just left it where it dropped, and it got buried and overgrown through the years. Yeah, she doesn't remember anybody burying it either. So, yeah, maybe it was just in there from being, you know, sitting around for 7 years. And yes, I think that's Laura. That, yeah, I think that may be the character I was telling you guys about earlier. Let me take a look at my trivia notes. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I don't know whether it's Laura or whether it's Barbara. I'm fuzzy. I could go look it up, but I don't want to miss when we return. But anyhow, let me go back to the Looper article and see what I can get for you guys. So they said, it should come as no surprise that the heroes of The Walking Dead are what drew the majority of viewers to it. Seeing the likes of Rick Grimes, Michonne, and more put their survival skills to the test, largely to great effect, is inspiring, to say the least. After all, not everyone has what it takes to survive in the zombie apocalypse, without taking into account the even larger threats such a situation presents. For instance, as Walking Dead has depicted, it's not uncommon for humans of sound mind to turn against their non-zombified kind. The Walking Dead has put the spotlight on countless human villains over the years, some more effectively than others. Names like the Governor and Alpha will live in infamy for their immoral and inhumane tactics to stay alive. At the same time, not every on-screen presence labeled an antagonist turns out to be so twisted beyond the point of no return. Case in point, Negan, as played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan, appears to be just another run-of-the-mill bad guy for the heroes to take down. However, over time, he developed into one of the more complex characters in the series. Here is the untold truth of The Walking Dead's Negan. Life before the outbreak. Walking Dead viewers first meet Negan in the season 6 finale, Last Day on Earth, and he sure makes a big first impression. Not only do he and his faction known as the Saviors capture Rick and his allies, but Negan gleefully murders both Abraham and Glenn brutally. He comes off as cold, conniving, and unspeakably violent, leaving viewers to wonder, where could someone so remorseless here have come from? There's a Maserati commercial. That's nice. I'm waiting to see if we're going back or not. Well, there's the Talking Dead. So the Morgans, David Leslie Johnson McKendrick, Yvette Nicole Brown, later tonight. Yes, and we are back to a commercial, so I will keep going. Before leading the Saviors and swinging his barbed wire baseball bat around, Negan was a pretty average guy. As a kid in Virginia, he quickly gained a reputation as a bully and a troublemaker. But all that changed when he met a woman named Lucille later in life. The two fell in love, marrying and hoping to start a family, only for the situation to quickly sour. Negan cheated on her and proved himself unfaithful time and time again. To make matters worse, Lucille was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer shortly before the apocalypse began. Negan does his best to provide her with medicine in the now walker-infested world, but she ultimately dies from her illness, which is not a spoiler. We know she's dead. This drives Negan over the edge, and he begins tapping into his darker, more cynical side that we all recognize. Sometime later, the Saviors take power with him as their leader, making him and Lucille his barbed wire baseball bat a symbol of fear. All right. It is Miller time in a commercial, and we are back. I'll see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys, it's 9:24, and we've got our scores up. Joan has gone to 6. I'm at 5.75. I will probably get up very shortly. And, yes, the actress is the same person, I think. Oh, I see. Joan, you're talking about Laura and whether or not it's Laura or whether it's Barbara. Joe's like, I know everyone has to start somewhere, but it's really hard to believe that Negan was ever that inept with Walker killing. Yeah. And I guess, you know, desperation is the mother of industry, don't they say? Something like that. Let me go back to the Looper article because we still have stuff to say. The next part is a record-breaking run. Since making his debut, Negan has remained a constant presence on The Walking Dead. To this day, he's at the heart of the program, even getting his own flashback episode in Season 10, episode aptly entitled, Here's Negan, further exploring his life pre-apocalypse. Not uncommon for the show's bad guys to be fleshed out a fair bit, but a story this dedicated to doing so is highly irregular. Although that shouldn't be shocking, considering Negan's run on the small screen has seen him break all sorts of norms for Walking Dead villains. Of the series' main antagonists, Negan has secured the most appearances, popping up in over 40 episodes across 3.5 seasons. In addition, he has the longest lifespan of the bunch, sticking around the Land of the Living for roughly 60 installments. Not to mention, his interactions with Alpha make him the first bad guy to meet their successor, and him subsequently killing her makes him the first and only principal villain to defeat another principal villain. Perhaps most importantly, Negan is the sole antagonist to turn a new leaf and become something of a good guy. I use that term very loosely. Also worth mentioning is that Negan boasts the highest kill count so far with roughly 230 deaths on his hands. Included in those deaths are 6 main cast members, Abraham, Glenn, Alpha, Spencer, Simon, and Beta, which is the most any one character has killed. One has to wonder if he has more records to earn with his arc still unfinished. Taking a look at the commercial and Capital One with In Your Wallet. We're in another commercial. All right, I'll continue. Alternate Negan castings. This one's kind of interesting. To put it simply, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is Negan, totally making the now iconic role all his own. Image of him in his black leather jacket, combat boots, slick back hair, flashing a devious smile through his tight gray beard is instantly recognizable. In fact, some might say it's impossible to imagine anyone other than Morgan taking on the part, but that was very nearly the case. When Walking Dead artist Charlie Adlard recreated the character, he based his look on musician Henry Rollins, local boy from D.C., who auditioned for the Negan role before Morgan gave it a swing, pun intended. Rollins spoke to Forbes in 2016, and we may have to wait to tell you what he said. So it looks like we are about to go back in just a hot second. He discussed the process, recalling the excitement online about Negan's Walking Dead debut. And I'm stalling because I'm pretty certain we're going to go back in a second, and I don't want to get too far down this paragraph. Good Lord. They're making this awful long. It's a chunk of a bunch of different shows, and they have early access stuff on AMC+. Gangs of London, Walking Dead, and a bunch more stuff. Yeah. Okay, I think we're going back. All right, see you guys at break number four. Okay, guys, it's 9:35, and we're at break number four, and I am going to go up to 6.25. I had Jones already there, so now we're even, as often happens. Joan is also talking a little bit about what we were saying in the article I was reading to you guys. she has trouble imagining anybody but Jeffrey Dean Morgan playing Negan. And I definitely agree with the sentiment, although I also agree with the article. I can imagine Henry Rollins doing it, but I think that we're all kind of on the page that Jeffrey Dean Morgan has really made that role his. And I think at this point, it's difficult to imagine anybody else getting to that point. And, you know, Hank's a good actor, but this really is Jeffrey Dean's role. So that's fine. We're at 9:36. Let me go ahead and try to read some more of that article to you guys. So Henry had said, the internet was wild with speculation because in the upcoming season they were going to introduce the character, he says. Continuing, a woman that works in my office put my name and the character's name into an internet search, and all this speculation came up. I went for the audition, and there were 5 pages of really cool dialogue with all these curses, and it was beautiful, but I didn't get it. He then goes on to add that while many thought he should have gotten the part, he didn't mind and was very impressed with Jeffrey Dean Morgan's approach. Quote, I later saw a photograph of the guy who did get it, and he looks almost exactly like a comic book rendering. Rollins wasn't the only big name who vied for the Negan gig, as Scream's own Matthew Lillard gave it a shot as well, only to also lose out to Morgan. All right, we're still in commercial, so let's go to the next part. Entering the gaming world. All right, we'll see about that. Even though he laid waste to some of The Walking Dead's beloved heroes and then terrorized those left alive, Negan somehow became one of the show's most popular characters. So popular, he's even managed to cross over into the gaming world on several occasions. Arguably, the most well-known of them was his guest spot in the 2015 fighting game Tekken 7 as a DLC inclusion. He became available to add to the existing roster on February 28, 2019, bringing with him his own unique fighting style moves and a stage based on his The Walking Dead introduction. Some of his lesser-known gaming cameos span both the MMO and tabletop game format. In December of 2019, both Negan with Lucille and Michonne with her katana were added to PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Mobile for a limited time only. September 2020 then saw Magic the Gathering receive a Walking Dead expansion, including none other than Negan as one of the new cards. His ability reads, when Negan enters the battlefield, you and target opponent each secretly choose a creature that player controls. Then those choices are revealed and the player sacrifices those creatures. Whenever an opponent sacrifices a creature, you create a treasure token. We're in a trailer, and I feel like we're about to go back in a minute, so stalling again because I don't like to get into the middle of those things. The next section is going to be staying true to the source material, but I think I'm going to read that to you in a minute. Oh, now we're in another commercial, or at least a trailer. All right, so for as beloved as Jeffrey Dean Morgan's Negan has become, it's worth remembering that the character itself wasn't conjured up out of thin air for television. Negan first arrived in The Walking Dead 100, surviving to see the series finale in issue 193. Much like he does on The Walking Dead TV show, the leader of the Saviors makes a grand entrance with Lucille in hand, spouting expletives as he sees fit and putting all of his enemies on notice. As it turns out, Morgan took great care in nailing Negan's brash yet collected personality. Checking the TV. An interesting commercial that I don't quite understand. In February 2016, Jeffrey Dean Morgan spoke to Entertainment Weekly and detailed why pushing the strong language envelope was so important, regardless of how AMC felt about it. I'm holding the quote because something about Petco, and I feel like we're about to go back 7 months earlier. This isn't The Walking Dead. I don't think. Or is it? How strange. I guess it is. All right. My bad. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys. It's 9:46. And we are at break number 5, I think. I'm going 6-5.
I have no words right now. I'm going to go read the article. So, Jeffrey Dean Morgan is talking about cussing. We're going to push AMC. The plan is to push them as far as they can because it's who Negan is, he claims. It's who Negan was in the comic, definitely. He uses some colorful language, and I use some colorful language. And reading the comic, it's important. So we'll see where that lands. Well, we have seen. Morgan then speaks to his desire to get Negan right no matter what, noting it's our intention that this character is going to leap off the pages of the comic book. It's very important that that's who it is. Some of the characters, there's much more leeway, but Negan is a guy that you want to keep as true as possible, and that would be how I want to play him as well. Looking back on his Walking Dead journey so far and the cultural impact of the Negan character, it's fair to say that Morgan did just that and then some. Okay, so there's that. Let me get the other link for you guys. If you give me just a quick second, I'm not quite sure where in my notes I put it, so I gotta. Okay, so we've got that one. Let me pull up the other link. It's 9:48, so hopefully we can get to this in the rest of the notes. Chris Hardwick is on there announcing Talking Dead people and some other stuff he's saying, but I have him muted. And we are at a Prime Video commercial. Okay. So the next article is the real reason the Walking Dead fans started seeing less of Negan. And this is also on Looper by Mike Bedard. And this is actually interesting. This was back in November 10th of 2020. So this is kind of a overall opinion piece rather than a recent one. But I'm going to go ahead and read it to you guys because I think it could be relevant. So when you have a show that spans that many years, you need to find ways to keep it fresh. For season 6 of The Walking Dead in 2016, that meant bringing in an infamous character from the comics who fans knew was going to cause plenty of problems for our survivors, Negan, played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. In the episode Last Day on Earth, Negan immediately establishes himself as a foe that the hero shouldn't trifle with, as evidenced in how he mercilessly kills two beloved characters right off the bat, no pun intended. Oh, yeah, pun not intended. I wasn't sure. Shortly thereafter, Negan takes control of Alexandria. Rick and his friends rebel, of course, thus leading to an all-out war that results in a lot of bloodshed. Needless to say, Negan wasn't just a single-season big bad who could be dispensed with over the course of 13 episodes. For a while, Negan was arguably the main attraction on The Walking Dead. A good deal of the show's attention went to him, until he was ultimately imprisoned at the end of season 8. Even after his defeat, he had maintained a presence in the main series, his influence bleeding over to the spinoff shows as well, but in season 9, his character arc moved into the background, with the villain spending a great deal of time in his prison cell, seemingly intentionally keeping away from the main storyline. Putting the pieces together, it became clear why Negan had to take a back seat for a while. And we are back, so I'll see you guys at probably the end. Okay, guys, it's 10:01. I kind of thought the show would be going to Talking Dead, and I sort of thought we were over, but it's just a bunch of commercials, and this is very surprising. So sorry I didn't get back a little sooner than that. I wasn't really clear what was going on here. Let's take a look at the article. You know, I tell you what, this article is somewhat long, and I'm pretty sure we're at the end of the episode, so I'm going to hang on to it. And next time we get together, I can try to read it to you guys. Just real super quick, back half of Fear Season 6 starts next week. Episode 8, The Door. Episode 9, Things Left to Do. 10, Handle with Care. 11, The Holding. 12, In Dreams. And 13, JD. And there's 3 episodes after that, but I don't have titles for them yet. So that is a very quick update. With that, got some articles. Other stuff, Monday Night in America with Roger Noriega, Phantom Access Week in Review on Tuesdays,
Rock and Roll Shrink, not this Wednesday, but the next week following, every other week. And Travel Itch Radio on the 8th, talking about Pier 39 in San Francisco. And sorry to be rushing all of these stuff up. We're obviously not ending in the episode just yet, but this is all very confusing and not typical of format. So I'm a little disconcerted about where we are in this little dance. We're in an Intuit commercial at the moment, and we're going to another commercial, and I'm actually kind of stunned here, to be honest with you guys. But I'm not going to continue the article. I'm going to save it till next time. Checking in the chat room. Joan's going up to a 7. And, yeah, actually, I'm going up to a 7.5. Although, it's very good theater, but that was a little close to home this week, so I don't really know that I have a whole lot to say exactly. So there's a commercial about veterans and homelessness, and I'm not really sure what is happening with that. Rocket Mortgage. Okay, well, I hope Rocket Mortgage is helping veterans who are homeless get mortgages. Oh, okay, so we are back. I'll see you guys a quick little snippet in a bit. Okay, guys, it's 10:14. We are now at the end, finally. As often happens, the season finale ran over a little. Joan's at 7.75, and so am I. Joan has mentioned real quick, at least Negan has good taste in music, the Joe Cocker fan. And he says, wonder how much hair dye it took to get all that gray out of his hair and beard. You mean so that he could portray the Negan of a few years ago? Yeah, I wonder. Joan said she was even thinking about an 8, but she's good with 7.75, and now she's got to wait another hour for Talking Dead. I'm not too happy about that. But at any rate, it's kind of long, and I'm going to let you guys go, especially if you're going to try to stay up and see Talking Dead live. That's a lot for people to do. So thank you for staying with me. I always appreciate it. Next week we will be doing Fear the Walking Dead, Season 6, Episode 8. And I want to thank everybody who joined us tonight, and as well as those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special thanks to our host, NDB Media, and we hope you guys will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. So we'll see you all next weekend. Always appreciated, and take care.